Jack of All Nerds is recorded in front of a dead studio audience.
We're gonna do it. Give us any chance, we'll take it. Resist any rule, we'll break it.
It's 8 p.m., kiddies, and you know what that means.
Guy love, he's mine, I'm his. There's nothing gay about it.
You puny rangers, make my monster grow!
Oh no, guys! It's Bill Vitor! We need Krispy Kreme Megazord power now!
Welcome back to more cooking with Bane.
Oh, you think grilling is your ally? Now's not the time to sear. That comes later.
Are you the doctor?
No, I'm the nurse.
Where is he?
You've been listening to the G-Spot, where we play nothing but Kenny G classics for a two-hour block of time. Due to explicit content, listener discretion is advised.
On with the show!
Hello, and welcome to the Jack of All Nerds on Chaotic Radio. I am the Jack of All Nerds, Michael Maxwell. Joining me, as always, Mr. Derek Murray.
Hello, everyone.
And in the booth, back from wherever the fuck he was, I guess. Yeah. Danny, everybody.
Hi.
And I apologize, we had a new theme for October that played last week, and apparently Danny didn't get the message. So
I did not get the message.
It should be there in the thing.
I see it, but...
Yeah. Anywho, well, shit. You've ruined the show. I don't want to do it anymore.
All right, let's go home.
Good night, everyone. tonight on the show, coming up in the 8:30 block of the show, we're going to be talking with the CEO of Stan Lee's Los Angeles Comic-Con, Regina Carpinelli. It's kind of our annual tradition with her. We're going to hear all about the cool stuff that's going on at this year's con. So you're going to want to stick around for that. And then, boy, oh boy, we have nothing to talk about beyond that. No, that's not true. So there's quite a bit to discuss. There was a new Black Panther trailer that dropped, and some other stuff for current events. We've got, of course, Blast from the Past. That's Halloween themed. But before we do any of that, guys, we got to talk about the people that allow us to be here, and we're actually on a bit of a time constraint, so I'm going to try to go through these sponsors just as quickly as humanly possible tonight. First up, the Etiwanda Roadhouse, conveniently located off the
Roadhouse. Teacher
Highway in the Dick Creek exit, Rancho Cucamonga, California. The Etiwanda Roadhouse has
really
food specials, drink specials, live entertainment, pub trivia, karaoke, all that kind of good stuff. For more information, visit facebook.com/eRoadhouse.
Roadhouse!
Also, The Dinner Detective, America's largest interactive murder mystery dinner show. Enjoy a fabulous four-course meal while solving a hilarious murder investigation. For more information, visit thedinnerdetective.com. And if you're purchasing tickets from Claremont, California location, use promo code CRIME to get a $5 discount. Hoo-ah! And also, Four Color Fantasies comic book store located in Rancho Cucamonga, California. The IE's premier comic book store. For more information, visit facebook.com/4CF Rancho.
If you don't know comic book stores, you don't know Jack.
Yes. There we go. Sponsors, everybody. Done. In
record time.
Wow.
That wouldn't have lasted the ooh.
No, it wouldn't. I tried really hard to get my Roadhouse in. It was very rushed over.
He needs to do it.
Yeah, sorry about that. Anyway, but we have a couple of things we have to talk about with each sponsor as well. So this week, this Wednesday at the Etiwanda Roadhouse, everybody.
Roadhouse!
Is their video game night. They're doing another tournament with Mario Kart this time.
Nice.
Sign-ups are 7:30. Tournament starts about 8 p.m., and they're thinking it may be like up to four people per match is what they're hoping for.
Damn.
You know? Come, bring your friends, ruin your friendships, that sort of a thing.
Don't bring your own controller.
Yeah, don't bring your own controller. Yeah. Fuck you.
Again, cash prizes, as always, free to sign up, so you're going to want to check that out. That is this Wednesday, everybody, which is October. Let me see. It's a thing. Yes.
We'll carry the two. Subtract a dividend.
We probably should provide that information since you may be listening to it after the fact.
Maybe a little too quick.
It's, what is it, the 22nd? So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, the 25th? That sounds right.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. Wednesday the 25th, everybody. October 25th.
And if it isn't, it is now.
2017, in case you're listening to this like next year. Also, Four Color Fantasy is coming up very quickly.
Yes.
Yeah.
What, 2 weeks?
Yeah.
2 weeks, the private screening for Thor Ragnarok.
Woohoo!
The movie that single-handedly has me more excited than any other movie coming out this year.
Which doesn't make any sense, because Thor movies haven't been that good.
Have you seen any of the promotional material for this
one? No, looks so good.
Dude, look, they have promoted the fuck out of it, and I'm just like, yeah, I want to care about Thor again. I'm down. I'm down.
So for more information, again, visit Four Color Fantasies either in-store or go to the more information on Facebook, facebook.com/4CFRancho, and that is the number 4, not spelled out. Yeah, guys, lots of cool things going on. We have got mucho pumpkin spice today. So aside from just
the stuff
that I brought in, I was at Universal at Hogsmeade, and my girlfriend told me about this thing called pumpkin fizz, which she tried and hated. So I did a little video trying it, and it is every bit as repulsive as she said it would be.
Yeah, if you venture on to the Jack of All Nerds page, because honestly, everything that we try in studio, Mike represents in this video. Like, he embodies everything that this pumpkin spice challenge is. The repulsion when it like hits his palate, it's amazing. Like, you have to watch it just for that.
You can actually find it if you go on our Instagram. For whatever reason, it wouldn't let me share it to the Jack Facebook page.
You know what? I couldn't share it from the Jack page. You could share it to your own personal page.
Yeah.
And I was trying to share it to mine, and it wouldn't let me. I don't know why.
I think it's because it's an Instagram thing.
Yeah,
so,
maybe.
But you go to the Jack of All Nerds Instagram, which is at Jack of All Nerds. It's just that easy.
Hey! You don't know Jack of All Nerds, you don't know Jack.
Yes, but we've got some. So tonight, we've got pumpkin spice frosted mini wheats, pumpkin spice peanut butter, and as I was on my way over here, I discovered the Jack in the Box now has their pumpkin spice shake for a limited time. So I picked that up, and I think we need to try that first, because this shit,
it's already
going to be gross, but getting to melted point real quickly
here. I'm going for it.
He's going in for it. It also had whipped topping and gingerbread crumble on the top.
Oh. Wow.
Is it soupy?
Is it? I can't tell if you liked it or you hated it.
There's a lot of flavors happening here. there is a cinnamon, there's a clove, there's a gingerbread, there's a ice cream that, like, there is so much happening in this small bite. I don't know that I don't like it, but I don't hate, hold on.
He's going back in for a second tasting.
Yeah, no, I don't like it.
He doesn't like it.
No. It's pretty pumpkin spice.
Okay.
Yeah.
Danny's going in.
Ah.
Nah, it's super fucking soupy.
Sorry about that.
I'm getting like a maple flavor in there too.
Yeah, there's a little bit of that.
That might just be the gingerbread though.
I would also like to point out they didn't mix this very well when they handed it to me. It was like white on the bottom and sort of orange on the top.
Yeah, no, there's a fuck ton of fall flavors in this. It's way too much.
I don't mind it. I don't think I'd order it ever.
Yeah.
But like, if I was
we have tried way worse things. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to finish this cup, but it's not like I'm not like repulsed by it. You actually got whipped cream.
You all had whipped cream.
It just melted.
Was it melted in there? Yeah. That's why there's so many flavors.
Yeah, I made sure that you had everything that was represented. Okay,
yeah,
in this
no,
cup
it all melted in there.
It's not terrible. I actually kind of dig it, but I would never order it.
You're right though about the, like, we have pumpkin spice competing with gingerbread.
Yeah.
Competing with
there's way too much going on in like every bite. Yeah. he just like set it as far away from it as he possibly could.
No, because I'm getting basically the pumpkin pie ice cream.
Yeah.
It feels very much the same.
It does.
With the addition of gingerbread.
Yes. Yeah.
Which I don't dislike gingerbread, but together.
Yeah. And look, I'm a huge fan of gingerbread.
I'm gonna have a Diet Coke chaser.
The way basic bitches are about pumpkin spice, I am about gingerbread. Like, that's me. I'm the gingerbread
man.
The gingerbread latte. I'm the gingerbread man. Don't take my gumdrop buttons. That's me. But this is just, there's too many flavors going on. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's It's like the pumpkin spice with the gingerbread, with the whipped cream, with the, like, it's just.
And since it's creamy, it lingers.
It does linger.
It does. It's still on my palate.
Yeah.
It's way too much.
Hey, you know what's going to wash that out?
Nope.
Pumpkin spice peanut butter.
Or paint thinner.
Am I? God damn it. This is a mad, God.
You don't have to do the whole thing, dude.
I like that.
You're
going to
be like a dog on the radio.
But Mike wasn't like, hey, let me just give you a small part. No, he smothered the spoon.
It's a small spoon.
No, fuck you.
That's a legit tablespoon.
All right. I'm going in. Ugh.
Early prediction. Oh, it tastes just like peanut butter.
Oh, this is stuck in my mouth.
Why'd you take so much?
Well, maybe you should go back
because
in.
Because it's a big spoon.
Yeah, you know, it would probably help that out if you go back in for more shake.
No, fuck you.
There's milk in the shake. I'm just saying.
Oh, God, it's sticking my mouth together. Ah, I can feel it under my tongue.
I'm fighting back so many that's what she said jokes right now.
Where's the handle?
Ah, I have to do this. This is awful. This is the worst.
Shake.
Holy shit.
Oh my God, you're covered.
Oh God. Oh God, it's all over him. It's all...
He's covered in three different kinds of shame glaze.
I feel like we just pumpkin shamed Derek. I don't know what's going on here.
Swallow. You swallow. You be a man and swallow.
Oh,
so
fuck.
How is the peanut butter?
It burns. Like, okay, look. It's very much peanut butter. You're right. You're absolutely right. There's not a lot of pumpkin spice going in there. But it is so peanut butter. I took way too much. And, like... This is how I had to. God damn it.
Okay, then.
All right.
My mouth is just full of pumpkin.
Danny's going for it. He was much more conservative than you were.
Yep. I'm not getting any pumpkin out of that whatsoever. That's just peanut butter.
Well, I mean, I don't even know that there would be any actual pumpkin in it. I think they just put the spice, like the pumpkin.
It's there.
Yeah, so here's the ingredients, because they're simple. It's peanuts, cane sugar, palm fruit oil, cinnamon, ginger. There is actual pumpkin. Nutmeg, allspice, and salt. So it is all of the classic pumpkin spice flavors. But yeah, I just, based on opening it up and smelling it, it's just one of those where like peanut is such a strong flavor on its own, like peanut butter, that I just don't think you get much coming through. Yeah. So here we go. I'll give it a go. Smells like peanut butter.
It's a lip smacking good time.
Well, I'll tell you this much, guys. I have a fairly refined peanut butter palate.
Mm-hmm.
I can get this. I can taste the cinnamon.
You can, right?
Yeah, you can get the cinnamon.
It's overpowering.
But I don't get any
kind of
pumpkin.
Clove, like the cinnamon and clove.
And the problem is because it's peanut butter, it's almost impossible to get off your palate because it just sticks there because it's peanut butter.
I mean, Danny and I didn't take the whole spoonful like you did.
Ah. It's still on my palate. Look, I can still feel it in the back of my mouth.
I will say this. I'd put that on a PB&J.
So would I. Absolutely.
I would not.
It's just peanut butter.
Mainly because, like, with the jelly on there, you wouldn't taste any of the pumpkin spice.
I mean, I guess
flavor.
That's true, but it was a little much. Yeah. It was a little much.
All right, let's move on.
All right.
To a Frosted Mini Wheats, pumpkin spice Frosted Mini Wheats.
I'm actually kind of excited for these. These actually.
Yeah.
So they look like they're, like, covered in Cheeto dust. That's what the pumpkin looks like.
It does, right?
It's like somebody dropped the mini wheat into a bag of Cheetos.
I don't anticipate these having a strong flavor.
I can kind of
smell it.
I don't anticipate these being any good.
All right.
I'll do it.
Oh, Danny already went.
God damn it, Danny.
Gotta be fast, man. You're too busy lagging in the peanut butter.
Yeah. And he's crunching away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just tastes like a mini wheat.
Nothing special?
Nothing special.
All right.
Just a way to get you out of your money.
It worked. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it is there.
I'm gonna
but it's
crunchy.
Just, it's literally in the frosting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if you don't do frosting end down, you probably won't taste it.
All right. I'm going to do frosting end down for that. Mm-hmm.
He didn't like it.
Ew.
Well, at least we know one thing. Derek is not a basic bitch.
No, no. And everything would indicate otherwise, but I'm not.
I mean, honestly, that's been part of the joy of this challenge is knowing how much he hates the pumpkin spice.
No, I'm going to tell you, frosting in down, not good. Not good.
Didn't care for it, eh?
No. You get the pumpkin spice. You don't, it's not like washed away with the wheat. I thought it was going to be halfway okay, and it's not. That's fucking disgusting.
And yet, the genre of pumpkin spice flavored items is going to continue
to
grow.
Yeah, no, we're 0-3 tonight.
Just like the expanding universe, Derek. It's gonna keep going until it dies, and everything dies with it.
I hope it does. I hope we all die.
Well, good news though, because next week.
Oh God, no.
Is our big finale.
No.
And we're gonna get some bottled pumpkin spice latte.
Make it not happen.
And a pumpkin spice hot dog.
Make it not happen.
It's gonna be fun.
Make it not real.
Or something.
Make it not real.
You're gonna ruin hot dogs for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're gonna ruin everything. Like,
I'm just never gonna look at food
just
again.
Just everything that is good in this world. It might turn me vegan. That's how gross it is.
Wow, that would be a feat.
Yeah, that's how repulsed I am by the idea of a pumpkin spice infused hot dog that I might become a judgmental, I hate everybody vegan.
Well, I'm glad I could do that for you.
That's awful. I hate vegans.
I know. But I think if this show has taught us anything over the years, it's that your unhappiness is my joy.
Those two things are directly inversely related.
He's not wrong.
Yes.
All right. Well, let's do this. Let's do some blast from the past before we get to the break. And then after that, we'll be coming back speaking with Regina Carpinelli, the CEO of Stanley's Los Angeles Comic Con. But here's the problem. I don't remember what you picked.
In the Mouth of Madness.
Oh, right.
I did. I was able to actually find it.
Oh, good. I think that's probably the most recent.
It's 95.
That is definitely the most recent.
It's the most recent. Okay. Yes. All right. Cool. Yeah. So.
Yeah. I think Danny's is the oldest here.
Okay. So. All right. Perfect. So In the Mouth of Madness, starring Sam Neill, who is a goddamn joy. Like, that guy is so criminally underrated. Like, he is so fun and so funny in this movie for some reason. And then it's actually directed by John Carpenter. I did not know that. It wasn't written or like none of it produced by him, but he did direct this movie. So the plot of this movie,
I mean, he is known as the master of horror.
And honestly,
I think every horror director says that about
having
himself.
Seen. Well, that's, I don't know if he gives himself that moniker, but he is known as John Carpenter, the master of horror.
Yeah.
And having seen most of his films, I don't know why.
So. It's, you know,
I mean, when The Thing first came out, it was pretty fucking scary. Yeah.
I mean, look, there's definitely a great horror element to it, and in 95, for sure, this would have blown minds.
Vampires is terrifying, but not for those reasons.
No. And this is not terrifying for any of those
reasons.
Sexy
James Woods.
Yeah. But Sam Neill is a fucking joy to watch in this movie. He's so good. So essentially this movie is about an author who, he's a horror novelist, and people are just apeshit for his horror movie. Like, everybody loves his horror stuff. He's sold out, like, more than Stephen King, and he mysteriously goes missing. So his agency employs an insurance fraud agent played by Sam Neill, who goes in to investigate, like, fraudulent claims of disappearances and stuff like that. And he gets tagged along with this editor, Styles, and they come upon this mystery land that is essentially the book land that this guy's been writing forever. And the whole thing just kind of dives into this. Is this reality? Is this not right? It's supposed to be fiction, but this town seems to exist for real. And all these characters that he's written are like coming to life. And it's just this weird kind of turn into like supernatural. And none of it's ever really explained. Like, you're not really sure what it is, that's going on. But honestly, like, Sam Neill is so good that you just kind of dismiss all the weird questions you might have. And honestly, like, spoiler, like, in the end, it turns out that, that Sam Neill's character, John Trent, is actually a character in the novels, and his primary goal is to spread this new book to everybody because it's going to change the world. And then the film kind of ends with him, like, walking into a movie theater and watching the movie starring him. So he basically watches In the Mouth of Madness as himself, watching himself, realizing that he's a character. It's a crazy fuck off twist ending. But honestly, like, it was really funny. And it, like, I don't know if that was on purpose, but if it was, then A plus. Like, I found myself really enjoying it. Obviously, the special effects are, like, super dated, cause it's 95.
Any John Carpenter movie.
Yeah, no, it's, look, it, don't go into it thinking that they were, like, changing the world with these special effects. But honestly, I'm gonna have to give it a blast. I really enjoyed watching this movie more so than I thought I would. I hadn't seen it since I was young and, like, way too young to understand what was happening. Now that I am older and I understand what was going on, mm-hmm. It was a really fun movie. It was a really fun watch. And if you're one of those people that's like, oh, it's October, I have to watch every horror movie ever, In the Mouth of Madness is a great addition. So.
Anybody got time for that?
You'd be surprised.
So, all right, let's go on and head on back to 1981, the year of my birth, for a little movie called Happy Birthday to Me, a Canadian kind of slasher horror film. Basically, a bunch of teenagers at this private school, like they're the top 10, they're snooty rich kids, start getting picked off one at a time. By an unseen killer who they all seem to know because they always show them interacting with the killer for the most part, but they don't show the killer necessarily. And, the main girl, Virginia, her birthday is coming up and the whole thing is like, ooh, will there be enough people left to go to her birthday party? And a part way through the film, it makes it look like she's the killer. And there's also this business where she keeps having flashbacks where she was basically brain dead and they did some sort of radical surgery that brought her back to life, but she forgot everything from the past and then she's slowly remembering it as the movie goes along. Turns out she was in a car accident with her mother, where they drove into a river or something like that and her mom died and she was, set free, but she hit her head in the process. So you're thinking, oh, well, maybe that's why she's murdering things and not remembering. Maybe she's crazy, whatever. And that's kind of the direction it seems to go. And then the big twist ending, she has gathered all the corpses up of all the people she's murdered at this birthday party. And it's all part of her backstory. Like, she was new to this school, new money, like not old money like everyone else was. So nobody wanted to be her friends. Her mom apparently was kind of a bit of a whore and may have slept with some other rich dude. And so that's the big twist, is one of the people you think is dead is not actually dead, and they're wearing a face mask that looks like her, so you think that it's her killing everybody, but it's not her, it's this other person who turns out to be her half-sister who wanted revenge because her mother slept with her father, and that caused her family to fall apart, and she wanted to kill all these people and make her look like she did it so she'd go to jail, the ultimate bit of revenge, and it kind of backfires because when she comes to, she ends up killing her, but then a police officer shows up like right as she kills the person who is actually killing everybody, so that it looks like she killed everybody anyway, and that's how the movie ends.
I don't think I like anything you just told me.
It's one of those weird things where I read in the, like, behind the scenes that they wrote the movie pretty standard, like she was the killer, and then they were like, we gotta have a big twist at the end.
Kaiser Soze that shit.
And then they just threw this big twist in that doesn't really make sense. It's wacky and it's filmed in a way that you feel like everybody is a deranged killer. Like, they don't talk like normal people. Like, yeah. Every conversation between two people, you're like, no, yeah, she's the killer. No. You see the way he responded? He's the killer. So you're like, the whole movie, you're like, everyone's the killer.
Yeah.
Maybe they are. I don't know.
Who knows?
Like, I'll see you tomorrow. Yeah. I will see you tomorrow.
Yeah, really. Like, everybody's just, like, real creeper vibes. Like, they do shit that doesn't make any sense, and you're just like, wow. And, I mean, there's some pretty creative deaths. I will never allow another human being to feed me shish kebab ever again.
Or you'll never have a workout partner ever again. Hold up.
Is that something that you let somebody do on the regular?
Maybe, in a sexy way. That's the way it's presented here.
Okay.
Like, they're getting, you know, hot near the fireplace, and she's got snacks. And there's the little something where she's like, it's spicy. And he's like, I like it spicy. And she fucking jams it in his throat. And you're like, God damn, he didn't mean that spicy. Yeah, nope. Just don't trust people after that. Yeah, there's a workout scene where a dude gets a weight dropped on his junk. And then he dropped a weight on it. Yeah, there's a lot of the deaths. While they don't show a lot, when you think about what's being done, you're like, that's horrific.
Some Final Destination
shit.
Yeah,
it's pretty bad. So, look, it's not a great film by any means, but it was fun going. I hadn't seen this since I was a wee lad, and, in retrospect, I probably shouldn't have seen it when I was a wee lad. So, I'm gonna give it a blast.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's surprising.
Yeah, it is.
All right.
Danny, taking a trip back to 1978?
78, yes.
Woo!
With another, John Carpenter classic.
Yeah!
The Master of Horror.
I'm gonna get shit for this. I did not like this movie.
Sean.
I'm gonna come right out, balls of the wall, and say it. I did not like Halloween. Hmm. There was nothing, absolutely nothing scary about this movie to me. I think the music for this movie is more creepy than this movie.
Okay.
And you can only listen to that music for like maybe 10 seconds before it gets really annoying. I was at Halloween Horror Nights like 2 years ago. And I was in line for the Halloween maze for like an hour and a half, and they just had that song on repeat.
Ooh. Yeah, that'll do it.
I wanted to kill some people.
Yeah. You know what? I do feel like, especially when it comes to originals, like I did Hellraiser last week. You know, we've done, Nightmare on Elm Street. We've done all these originals, and I feel like their sequels and their, their longevity has kind of outgrown the originals. I think people forget what the original film actually was.
Yeah.
And I think Halloween, Nightmare on Elm Street,
Friday the 13th.
Hellraiser, any of those, I think they're basically forgotten in how many sequels there actually are made because they're not anything like the other ones.
Well, something me and Mike were talking about, a couple weeks back, like, all these movies, like, they didn't realize how successful they were gonna be.
Yeah.
So, like, especially characters like Michael Myers and, well, essentially Jason's mother, Jason Voorhees, they weren't supposed to be anything otherworldly. They were just supposed to be, like, kind of psychotic.
Yep.
And, you know, then the sequels come out and it's like, oh no, we need a villain! Bring him back from the dead!
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I mean, even Halloween 2 starts off with the doctor running out of the house going, I shot him six times and he's still alive. Like, it immediately starts off with, okay, he's unkillable. Like, that's the direction they go with.
I mean, he didn't say where he shot him.
That's true. I mean, maybe he shot him.
I shot him in the same hole six times.
Yeah, maybe he shot him six times in the dick. You don't know. You have no idea.
Shot him in the hand.
Yeah. Shut six fingers off.
But yeah, I do think when you go back and watch these originals, there's a lot that gets lost. I mean, even Child's Play, like the original Child's Play is nothing like the original.
Yeah,
it's nothing like the movies that came after it. So
I'm gonna give this one a gas just because I didn't think it was that scary. I'm just not the relatable material. I'm not a babysitter, so. Alone on Halloween. So, you know, I guess if that was me, I'd be terrified. But, I mean, she took the guy down with a clothes hanger. So, I'm going to leave it at that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's deadly. Like a plastic coat hanger or wire?
No, it was a wire coat hanger. No, wire.
I mean, there's
hangers.
A difference.
Yeah. No, there's a big difference. Yeah.
Take someone down with a plastic coat hanger. Fucking fair play to you.
You're Bear Grylls. That's what you are. All right.
All right, so let's take our first commercial break, and when we come back, everybody, via telephone, we're going to be joined with the CEO of Stan Lee's Los Angeles Comic-Con, Regina Carpinelli. We will be right back, everybody.
We need to hear it.
Chaotic Radio. because the rest is just a waste of time.
You're listening to The Deadpool Show, starring me, Deadpool.
What? What do you mean that's not on the cards? Oh, all right. You're listening to the Jack of All Nerds on Chaotic Radio. Chaotic. I'm going to go get some pancakes.
Welcome back to the Jack of All Nerds on Chaotic Radio. Joining us right now via cutting-edge telephone technology, everybody, the CEO of Stanley's Los Angeles Comic-Con, Regina Carpinelli. Hello.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. I'm actually not the CEO anymore, though. That was 3 years ago. I'm just the chief creative officer and the founder.
Well, you'll always be the CEO in my heart.
I don't think our Curzio Keith Trailens is amazing, Keith. But I'll be the CEO for you.
I'll get it right for next time.
No worries.
Thank you so much for spending an evening with us. It's our annual tradition now.
It is. It's not a LA Comic Con or Comic Con's a year without talking to you guys. So I look forward to it every year.
Awesome, and we definitely appreciate you chatting with us. So, what is going on at this year's convention?
Oh, so much. Where do we begin? I mean, The Rock is coming.
Yeah, we saw that.
And all of our jaws collectively dropped.
Be still my heart.
It's pretty amazing that he's coming. It's going to be, we have a lot of amazing guests, but I mean, The Rock is definitely someone who's pretty crazy and a lot of people really stoked to see. The other really cool thing that I don't know if you guys saw, but the Black Eyed Peas, they're going to be at the show promoting. They have this brand new comic book that's called Masters of the Sun by Marvel, and it's kind of like a Transformer. It's more than meets the eye, and they have this whole really cool experience they're doing at the show. But then at the nighttime on Saturday, we normally have that free Halloween cosplay ball. That's if you have a 3-day badge or a Saturday badge, it's free to get into. Well, this year, the Black Eyed Peas are playing. So your weekend, your 3-day pass or Saturday badge will get you in to see the Black Eyed Peas.
That's pretty incredible. That's a pretty sweet treat.
Yeah, they're bringing a bunch of their really amazing friends. I can't even say who it is, but it's like, holy crap. Like, you know, if you really like hip hop, you're not going to miss out. You don't want to miss out. And my best advice is, you know, we're having over 100,000 people, and there's a lot of people with Saturday and 3-day badges. If you want to go see the Black Eyed Peas for free, go line up early at Club Novo, because it's first come, first serve, and you know that's a place only seats so many people. Mm. So it's a free ticket. Not only, you know, just your ticket get you into the convention, but now you also get a Black Eyed Peas concert, which we're really stoked to be able to provide that to the fans.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
Paul Rubens is coming too. Wait, sorry, I cut you off.
Oh, no problem. I was actually just addressing that, because the fact that like every year when we talk to you, I'm pretty sure I said this last year, that the year before that, I was like, I didn't think your guest lineup could get better, and then it got better. And then I was thinking that this year, and then we saw Dwayne The Rock Johnson on there, and I was like, what in the ass? And then like just going down this list of guests, and like Michael Biehn from Terminator is going to get the hell out of here right now.
So good.
What about Paul Rubens?
Yeah, Paul Rubens.
Yeah, no, it's amazing.
Yeah.
He's never shown up at a convention at all.
Like, really?
Is that?
Yeah, I think this is his first. I think he did one maybe like 10, 12 years ago. This is the first appearance he's done in like a really, really, really long time. Like, wow. This is like a unicorn coming out. So and he's signing Saturday and Sunday and doing the photo ops. And you know, I'm pretty stoked for him. But, yeah, and also the iZombie cast with Rose McIver, David Anders, and Malcolm Goodwin. We got a pretty, every year we always do, we have a great guest list. But this year is one of the best I think we've had. I mean, even the Sabrina reunion, how could you not? Who doesn't want to see more?
Yeah, no, for sure.
Yeah, there's so many different fandoms represented as far as your guests are concerned as well. I mean, aside from, like, you've got some Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you've got some Star Trek Next Generation, fucking Burt Ward, you know, Robin
Ward,
from Batman 66, as well as two Catwomen,
and you know, and they're going to be signing all weekend long. I'm sorry, just on Saturday. But they're also doing a panel with Kevin Smith and Ralph Garman on our main stage. But it gets better than that. So, you know, Adam West, we were really good friends with him. And it was very hard to lose Adam this year. Mm-hmm. And so we wanted to honor him. I mean, our logo is the octopus on the world is actually a variation of Batman 66 United Underworld. Because we're Batman. We're owned by Stan's our partner, but before Stan, we were a kamikaze, and that was, you know, we loved Batman. So anyways, I got a bunch of really amazing artists like Jim Lee, Butch Hartman, who created Fairly Odd Parents, Rob Liefeld, James Tucker, who's like Batman Brave and the Bold head animator, and a whole bunch of other people donated original art, and there is going to be a booth where you can buy Batman, bid on this as an auction, and 100% of the proceeds are going to St. Jude Children's Hospital in Adam West's name. So, I mean, if you want a chance to get a Jim Lee piece for probably a really good price, you know, you definitely want to head over to booth 1345 on the show floor.
Awesome.
If you're a serious comic book art collector, I mean, all the pieces are really amazing, but the Jim Lee piece is pretty magical because, you know, Jim Lee draws Batman, but he's never drawn Adam West as Batman. So this is like an extra rare piece of art that he did. And it's going, and it goes for a good cause in Adam's name.
That's nice. That's a very nice thing. And I mean, aside from just all the kind of quote unquote celebrity guests, I mean, you guys still manage to pack the place out with comic book creators and artists,
of course,
as well.
Of course. We can't be a comic. This is one thing that we always make. It's very important for us that we keep the comics in Comic-Con. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, we're partnered with the family. How could we not? Like, there's nothing worse than going to a convention and there's no comic creators and they call themselves a Comic-Con. So, I mean, Stan Lee, Rob Liefeld, Greg Capullo, Tom King, Kevin Eastman, Todd McFarlane, J. Scott Campbell, a very, very rare appearance by Mark Bagley. People like Ken Lashley, Kenneth Rocafort, Andy Park, and Ryan Meandering. There's so many, many amazing artists coming to our show. It's ridiculous. Neil Adams, and Jai Lee, Rob Galori, who's like the main guy on Chew, and then to James O'Barr, who created The Crow. Yep. We have our Artist Alley and we have this new area called Stan's Bullpen is going to be packed with like so many talented people. So again, if you're like the collector, this is the show to be at.
Yeah, come prepared. Save up those paychecks.
Yeah, right. Totally. Come with money.
And we even got wrestlers this year coming. We have the Young Bucks who are part of that New Japan Pro Wrestling and they're coming with their rivals, The Addiction, and some other Bullet Club members, which is really cool. And I know they're going to have a really action-packed panel. And, you know, we are always really good on representing voice actors. And this year we have a pretty crazy selection. I mean, cast of Steven Universe, full cast of Fairly Odd Parents, the original Powerpuff Girls, and the voiceover cast of the video game Overwatch. It's pretty crazy.
Now, you guys also, aside from just having tremendous guests at every convention, you always have a ton of stuff for people to do. Yep. I remember there was a number of things last year that I desperately wish I could have been at. What kind of events do you guys have going on this year?
So this year on the floor, we have on Sunday, we have the kids trick or treat, which of course is a big hit. We ordered 2 tons of candy, and kids and obviously parents too. We don't discriminate. The vendors all get candy and they all pass it out on Sunday at 12:30. And then we also have the kids costume contest on the main stage. We're bringing back on Friday night, we have an amazing after party with Club Comic Con. One of the actors from Twilight, Jackson Rathbone, who played, what was his name? Jasper, there we go.
Why do you know that, Danny?
I like Jackson Rathbone.
I'm gonna let that slide for now.
All right.
Hey, different people at different strokes for different strokes. That's what makes fun. You gotta have something for everyone. Jackson's gonna be spinning. It's gonna be a really cool, you know, Club Comic Con is a really great club, safe space for cosplayers and neat nerds. And it's here you get this Hollywood club, but without, you know, having to worry about being bullied or like douchebag people and, you know, in the club. Like it's all convention. It's nerds. It's like-minded people. You know, we have the Cosplay National Championships happening again on Saturday night, and the stakes are really high. It's a $20,000 grand prize, $20,000 in prizes. So, and we partnered with a really great company called Cosmunity, which is owned by Orlando Jones, which is pretty awesome too. And it's just, it's basically glory, glamour, and gold that you're going to win, and a sewing machine. So we have some of the best people, cosplayers, have signed up to compete for all this money. We also have our Geek Fest Film Festival. It's just so much stuff to do. And on the show floor, there's like a TARDIS console, the original bridge of Star Trek deck where you can sit on it and take pictures. The wheel from Price is Right is going to be there, along with Drew Carey. So, you know, come on down.
That's awesome.
Is it going to be spinnable?
I think it is. I think you get to come and spin. And I think they're giving you like a special edition name tag, like if you go to the booth.
Oh, that's right.
There's just so much craziness, like, for everybody. And, you know, just a whole lot of fun going on. Mm-hmm.
So has the, you know, obviously Halloween changes days every year, but you guys have had a couple of times it's been like on the same weekend. And
yep.
Do you think that's going to make a difference? Does it tend to be crazier when Halloween is actually on the weekend?
You know, it always just gets crazier every year no matter what. We've consistently grown 20% every single year. So it's just like I don't think the Halloween part ever makes a difference just because we're always this really rad thing to do on that last weekend of October. So if Halloween is that same night, yeah, there's some people that don't like it, but the majority of people do because you're already dressed up. We always have a free party on Saturday with always some pretty mind blowing guests. I mean, like 2 years ago, DMC played. Last year, we had all these voice actors like perform. And then now, obviously, this year, Black Eyed Peas. But it's, you know, we always have something cool to do. It's always, like, right downtown. And it's, you know, if you, again, it's the whole part about being around like-minded people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and obviously the convention itself is amazing. So, and then building the kids trick-or-treat. Now, if you have kids this and you want them to have all the sugar, basically, you know, come to our show on Sunday with your kids because they're getting free and they can get a bunch of candy. And then, you know, on Wednesday or what is Halloween on Tuesday or Wednesday, you can take your kids trick or treating again. So your kid gets to like double trick or treat if they want.
Yeah, I don't think the parents want that, but the kids are definitely...
I'm sure the kids are down. Yeah.
I'm just, kids, tell your parents if you're listening. This is where you go. You know, so, and, you know, we partnered with Entertainment Weekly this year, and they're bringing a lot of really cool stuff, like Katie Sackhoff, they're bringing The Rock, and even Scott Bakula from Quantum Leap is coming with Don Belisario, which is pretty amazing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's, again, it's every year.
Yeah.
You guys put on an even more amazing show.
Yeah,
than
you always
did the
outdo yourself.
Year.
It's amazing. It's incredible.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
We work really hard, the team. We have a great team of employees, so big shout out to them. You know, my partner Keith is amazing. So we work really, really hard to try to bring the best show possible. And it's, what's really funny is like, we get like always right before the show, there's always like a couple of like people that come in and are like, we want to be at your show. And this year was kind of a really special one. Was the call was from, Carrie Fisher's assistant, who now owns Carrie's dog, Gary, who would go with her everywhere. And now Gary is coming and he's going to do potographs, you know, with his little paw and take pictures with people. But, you know, a lot of people really start to see Gary because he was, you know, anytime when Carrie came to our convention 2 years ago, she had Gary with him, and like every photo that you took with Carrie, Gary was in there with you. And, you know, there's, I don't know if you guys saw that trailer when Gary was watching the new Star Wars trailer, and it was just really heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. But we're really glad to have Gary with us. I mean, he's definitely a unique guest. You know, other ones that we just announced too is, Harry Goes and Timmy Robertson from Twin Peaks, which is pretty amazing too. I mean, Twin Peaks has been pretty crazy this coming back on TV. So it's a lot of really good, a lot of great actors, a lot of amazing artists. There's literally something for everyone.
Yeah, no,
so, you know.
There absolutely is here.
I challenge anyone to find, you know, it's always funny because I do see on our social media, like, people will be like, I don't really like the guests this year. It's like, wow, okay.
What's food like where you're from?
I guess I can't please everybody.
Yeah,
I'm sorry you hate everything.
What,
like, what is your problem?
Are you looking at?
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
I feel like
at least you could be like, hey, we have The Rock. Like, that should just shut everything down.
But like, you could hate most things and there's still something here for you.
Yeah.
I don't like.
Yeah, we're really good about variety, you know, infinite variety, if you will. It's, you know, one of our taglines is, you know, comics, anime, sci-fi, horror, and fantasy. And we literally touch all of that. I mean, even anime, we have Vic Mignogna and Todd Haberkorn, who are two anime gods, and the majority of the voice cast of Dragon Ball Z as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, I mean, you gotta be kind of grumpy if you're not excited to, if there's not something you like.
So Regina, on a personal level, on your own personal mm-hmm. nerddoms, what, we've got a couple of big comic book movies left this year, as well as Star Wars The Last Jedi coming out. What are you most excited for?
I'm really excited for Star Wars. I mean, who isn't? Thor, I'm pretty stoked about. JLA, it could go either way with him. You know, I'll go see it. I love Wonder Woman, but, you know, I love DC Comics. I wasn't a big fan of the Batman versus Superman, but I loved Wonder Woman. Mm-hmm. So I'm stoked to see how they pull the JLA together. I'm sure it's going to be great, but for the most part, I'm really excited about Star Wars. How about you guys?
I'm super excited for Thor, and Star Wars, yes, absolutely. I will never not be excited for Star Wars unless they were like, guess who's directing again? George Lucas. Then I'd be like, well, let's dial that back.
Let's wait.
Really?
Let's wait and see.
Come on. Even if George Lucas, I mean, he created it.
I mean, I would still, look, I did see the prequels in the theaters, so I would still go.
And look, in our defense, we did sit through Attack of the Clones again.
Yeah,
and it does not hold up.
It doesn't at all.
But you know what's interesting, though, is, you know, there's a generation that really hates their prequels. But then, you know, I have a brother that's 13 years younger than me, and he loves those films the most. And there's, you know, there's a generation of kids that's their Star Wars.
Yeah, and, no, you're absolutely right. No, you're absolutely right. And I that's actually one of the things that makes me so excited for this new world of Star Wars, with like The Force Awakens and Rogue One and, you know, The Last Jedi. Cause to me, I feel like that's like a unifying thing where it's like people my age can love Star Wars again, but you know, people like who are 13 years younger than us can also love Star Wars again, and we can all kind of get on the same page. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. And I just love how Star Wars is just for generations and generations is just making fans and creating new stuff. You know, I hadn't seen Clone Wars until 2 years ago, and then I saw it, and I was like, oh my God, this is so amazing. Like, I was instantly hooked. Like, everything about Star Wars is great, so how could you not like it? And I'm excited to see, hopefully we find out who Rey's parents are.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
a lot of things from the first film were like, give us more, give us answers.
Yep. No, I'm thoroughly excited for Thor, which is weird because I don't like any of the Thor movies already. And this Thor Ragnarok, it looks like one of the most enjoyable Marvel films I think you can make ever. Like,
Make Thor great again.
Yeah, it looks like so much fun. So I'm excited for that. I'm excited for The Last Jedi. I'm sure there's a DC film coming out some in between there, and
how about Jumanji? Are you excited for Jumanji? I first when I heard about it, I was like, why are they remaking it? And then I saw the trailer, and I was like, this looks kind of cool, actually, because it's different.
We love The Rock.
Yes.
Like, it's like our biggest man crush of all time.
It really is.
But even this, I don't know. I'm probably still going to see it,
yeah.
But I can't say I'm super excited for it.
Yeah, I don't know if The Rock can make this better. It's a tough one for me. I'm on the fence.
I first I was like, Jumanji remake, no, and then I appreciate it that it's like a video game. It's a whole. They're not ripping off the original story. It's a new story. I appreciate things like that, and it looks, you know, I like it that the kids basically find a ColecoVision or a Nintendo 64. Or whatever it was in the commercial, but or the trailer, and I love these little things like that. I appreciate those things, and I love The Rock. I mean, come on, who doesn't? I'm gonna go see it.
Tyrese.
For sure.
Hater.
Hey. You know, he's just mad because he's not The Rock. So.
It's true.
No, it's absolutely true. No, you're absolutely right. I'm honestly I'm actually really excited for Black Panther. I thought that trailer was fantastic, and it was one of those trailers that was like, yes, I would like to know everything about Wakanda, please. So I'm super excited for that.
I think there's so many great movies. Like, this is the last decade or two since 2000. This has been the time to be a geek, and basically all of our nerd dreams are coming true with. I mean, look at all the magical stuff that's been coming out, and that keeps coming out. Both DC and Marvel have just amazing slate of stuff coming, and you know, hopefully we'll get to see like cool, some more movies that are just a little different than just X-Men and Avengers, and that, you know, like I'm really enjoying the whole Guardians storyline that they're giving out, and maybe I'm excited that there'll be some other characters that get spotlighted movies too.
Yeah. Well, and we're even so spoiled that we get like amazing Netflix series that are coming out.
Like
we've got The Punisher coming out and Stranger Things and like all these great series that have just these nerd influences that, you know, 10 years ago, nobody would have ever thought that you could make a series about this. And now it's like one of the most anticipated things, and we're living in an age where not only do we get these great films, but we also get to watch great TV series about the same thing. So it's pretty awesome.
I also think that it's even more so than movies. This is the golden era of television. I was just thinking the other day how it's so funny, like everything that we watch, like there's just not Game of Thrones, The Handmaid's Tale. You know, and Walking Dead, it was good for a little bit. I don't know about this
season. I'm still down. I'm stuck with it. I'm still ready.
I'm debating on whether or not, like, I don't have cable. I just buy the series on Amazon and I watch it as it comes out. But I'm like holding back on it. I'm waiting to see if everyone says, okay, Let's do it. I'll wait a couple, 3 weeks in, and then I'll download it, because that last season, man, that disappointed me.
It was a hard watch. I will give you. It was tough to get through.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. We are in that golden age of television where, you know, you get these amazing series. Like, Stranger Things is one of those things where, you know, it came out and no one really knew that that was going to be something that would just take everything by storm. And now it's one of the most anticipated TV series above even films that are coming out. People are totally more excited for Stranger Things. And I think that's a huge testament to how far film and how far TV series have come, where people are more excited for TV premieres than they are for, you know, your average film.
For sure. No, it's a great time. It's a great time for all of that. And it's very exciting to be working in that industry and be able to bring all these television stars and movie stars to the public and the fans. It's really cool. Always trying to pull all that stuff together and see what we can get to the show. I wish I could have gotten Stranger Things this year, but maybe next year. We'll see. Mm-hmm.
But hey, a number of things that we have talked about, you have.
Yeah.
Including, but not limited to, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, everybody.
Exactly. I just approved, like, there was somebody said, okay, we post this, and it was like a top 10 list of the best things to see at the show, like what they thought. And the last thing was The Rock. We didn't even have to say anything else.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really funny. But I mean, yeah, exactly. The Rock is going to come, and it's going to be a very majestic moment on the stage.
Yep, it is. Yep, that's a great way to describe it.
So,
I imagine you're going to get to meet him, possibly shake appendages.
I hope so. It's like he has a pretty tight, like, security. But I'm not one of those. I never post pictures. I'll take pictures with certain people, but like random ones. And then I'm like, only if it's the right moment, I'll go like, hey, could we get a picture? Like, I'm more of like, I'll just take a random picture with somebody really, like, I like with cosplayers, but you know, if it's the right moment, it feels right, I'll totally ask for a selfie with him. You know, like last year we had Mike Coulter, and I didn't get a picture with him because there was just no right moment, because everyone was asking for a picture while I was talking to him. So I was just like, I'm not going to be like that person. But, you know, I'll have a picture for sure of Rock and hopefully Stanley. That's what I'm hoping for.
Well, I mean, look, Mike Coulter is nice and all, but every moment is the right moment with The Rock.
Yeah, no, it's true. If he shook my hand, I'd never wash my hand again. I just feel like that's fair.
In fact, even if you don't get to take a picture of them, if you get to just like shake hands, okay, next year when we talk to you, I expect details. I want to know.
I'll tell you all about The Rock.
How
I'll
he smelled.
Sure.
I just want to know.
Yeah. I want to know the feel like of the hand. I want to know everything.
Sandalwood and vanilla. That's what The Rock smells like. Do you smell what The Rock is smelling like?
I bet that's what he smells like.
You will tell us what The Rock is cooking.
You know, I think there needs to be a book that is like the psychology of a rock fan, because
we're
it's
nuts.
A phenomenon.
No, it is. No, he single-handedly reinvigorates franchises that should have died 1,000 years ago.
He's the most electrifying man in entertainment.
Yeah. You take the Fast and the Furious franchise, and everyone was like, there's no reason it should still exist. And then they inserted The Rock in there, and not even Vin Diesel and Tyrese, who had beef with him, they were like, yeah, we can't work with them anymore. It was like, okay, cool. I'm going to do my own spinoff off of this. And everyone was like, yeah, we're okay with this. Oh, Jason Statham is going to be in it? Yes, we're down. Fuck the Fast and the Furious. We're okay. We're okay with this.
I know he's amazing, and I know like all the ladies love him too. So it's not just the men. It's like I think men get pregnant around him.
We do.
Everyone gets pregnant around The Rock.
We do. I'm speaking as a man. Yes, I feel pregnant.
Well, we had.
There's gonna be a lot of babies being made. You know. thereafter, in 9 months off from the 28th of October, there's going to be a lot of babies happening, I'm sure.
Well, we had a theory when he did Hercules that he just actually is Hercules.
Yeah. That's not... yeah.
He is.
He is actually the son of Zeus. We...
I love it.
Anyway.
Yeah, I think he is. But he seems nice, too.
Yeah. We do have to take our next commercial break, but again, thank you so much for calling
thanks.
In.
This
we always
so
have a good
fun.
Time.
We love having you on the show.
Of course, we love being with you guys. And you know what? I always do this every year. If you're any listeners, if you want 10% off on tickets, use code DAISY, and you get 10% off on 3-day Friday, Saturday, and Sunday passes. So,
awesome.
You know, take advantage of it. Remember, Saturday and a 3-day badge, you get to see Black Eyed Peas too. And you, on Sunday, everyone's going to be talking about all the amazing people who performed with them.
Yeah.
Like, it's like next level. It's like rock level. You know?
It's amazing. It's amazing. Guys, check it out. Use the promo code.
Yeah. And this year's con,
awesome.
It's next weekend. It's October 27th through the 29th. And you can get tickets and information at StanLee'sLAComicCon.com, everybody.
That is us. All right, well, thank you guys so much, and hopefully I'll see you guys at the show.
All right, take care, Regina. Thank you again.
All right, take it easy. Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, everybody, that was Regina Carpinelli from Stan Lee's Los Angeles Comic Con. Once again, StanLee'sLAComicCon.com for more information and tickets. And one more time, you can use the promo code DAISY to get 10% off. And it's nothing to scoff at right there.
Mm-hmm.
So do it. The fucking Rock's going to be there. Jesus.
Do it!
Jesus.
Yeah, no, it's pretty incredible.
I almost peed myself when
I
saw...
No, it's incredible.
Like, there's other names on here, and you're like, oh, sweet. Yeah, cool.
Dwayne
wait, what?
Yeah. I don't know why we're not going. I don't understand.
What? Oh, I have a press pass.
I'm sorry, what?
Singular. I have a press pass, singular.
Fucking rude.
Sorry.
Well, you gotta sign up.
You didn't let me know. Well, you know what? We're gonna talk about the shit off air.
I can't do everything for you.
I hate this. I hate everything about this.
Anyway, I'll let you know how he smells. Anyway,
How dare you?
In all fairness, I will be giving you that report with my one phone call from jail.
When you assault the Rock.
Yeah.
Worth it. Worth it.
I just hope Michael Biehn doesn't, like, try to land on the Rock.
That was, one of the worst puns you've
ever
had.
It was awful. It was awful.
Ever.
I would make it again. No. Fuck it. I would do it.
Anyway, guys, so we're going to commercial break right now. When we come back, we've got some stuff to talk about for current events. You already brought it up.
Black Panther trailer.
We're going to talk about that. There's also this whole business. Hocus Pocus has been recently making a resurgence because, you know, Disney announced that they're doing that straight to TV remake.
Nope.
That's not going to involve anyone from the original. So we'll chat about that.
Yeah.
And a few other things. So yeah, if you wish to join the conversation, give us a call 909-360-8330 or messages on Facebook, facebook.com/jackofallnerds. We will be right back.
It's raw, it's uncensored, it's live 24/7. It's chaoticradio.com.
You're listening to the Jack of All Nerds show on Chaotic Radio, puny Earth creature. Now, where did I put that Illudium Pew-36 space modulator?
Welcome back to the Jack of All Nerds on Chaotic Radio. Before the break, we were talking with Regina Carpinelli of Stan Lee's Los Angeles Comic Con. And now it's time to move on to different stuff.
Good segue, Mike.
Strong.
That's right.
Solid.
The master of all I survey. So we had to rush through a lot of stuff at the beginning of the show so that we were ready in time for our interview. We did not get to give some proper shout outs. So here's one to Hyper RPG, everybody, for allowing us to be on their podcast network over there on SoundCloud. Check it out, soundcloud.com/HyperRPG, and also check them out on Twitch, everybody. That is twitch.tv/HyperRPG. They have a lot of cool content, a lot of different shows, video games, tabletop RPGs, and starting up this Tuesday at 6 p.m., they have, and this is official, mm-hmm. they've teamed up with Saban. I think that's how he pronounces it.
Yes.
Saban. I don't know why I whispered it. Saban. Anyway, Saban, of Power Ranger fame.
Yeah.
To have a Power Ranger, RPG show. So that's gonna start, it's Power Rangers Hyperforce. And that's gonna start streaming. I saw that. 6 p.m.
Yeah.
This coming Tuesday.
It's a tabletop pretty game, amazing, right? Guys. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so, pretty amazing.
Yeah. So. I'm offended that I wasn't invited, but that's fine. That's fine. It's not like I'm a huge Power Ranger fan.
And I want to say, one of the guys that's going to be on that is Bulk from the original.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. I mean, we've had Skull on this show.
I mean,
so we're just as good.
It's not like we're connected or anything, you know, whatever.
I need to try to get him back, Jason Harvey. I need to try to get him back on the show. Cause when he was on last time, we learned how big he is into Shakespeare. Mm-hmm. And I want to get him back on here to talk some Shakespeare.
I love it. Let's do it.
But right now I can't because I'm in the middle of trying to get Tom Lennon to call back into the show.
Well, Derek's going to have to not be here for that. So
no, I've been here for every Tom Lennon interview, sir.
This is true. Okay. He has not missed the Tom.
I will not miss the Tom.
And it's going well so far. I've done 3 Photoshop posts.
Yep.
And, he's like 2 of them. 1 was just today. So I got to give him time.
Nice.
So
nice.
It is Sunday. He's probably doing things with, I don't know, family or something.
No. He's probably counting.
What's that about? He's
probably diving into Scrooge McDuck money.
So yeah, that's the thing. If you like Tom Lennon, or if you're like a lot of other people, you're like, who the fuck is Tom Lennon?
Yeah.
And then
we show you a picture and you're like, yeah. Oh, that's his name.
Yes. If you're a fan of Reno 911, it's Officer Dangle.
Yep.
All right. He, most recently was on The Odd Couple on CBS. Yep. He was in one of the Transformers. Mm-hmm. He was the highlight of that Transformers film.
I think it was. Literally the only good thing about that Transformers.
It was Age of Extinction, right?
Yeah. He is hands down the only good thing about that entire film.
He's a bad teacher.
Yeah, he's had guest spots on the Goldbergs. He does, he voices some characters on that show. Actually, I think he does a lot of voice work.
Well, but he's also like the Archer. Co-creator and producer of, At Midnight.
Yeah. May it rest in peace.
Yeah. If you don't know who he is, as soon as you Google him, you'll be like, I know who he is.
It's
like,
one of those names where you may not know him by the name, but as soon as you see the stash, I know who that is.
It's undeniable. Yes. You'll get it.
So, so if you're like interested in having him call into our show, help us out, go to our Twitter feed at Jack of All Nerds, and I tweet these at him, and until he, you know, gives in.
Until he caves. It's a lot of work, but it's worth it.
Twice. Like a month and a half each time. Every day. It's a lot of fun, though.
Yeah.
So, anyway. Guys. Shall we talk some trailers?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
I mean, let's talk trailer.
Bruh.
So, Black Panther, everybody.
Ooh, not enough white people. Not okay. No?
There was two.
Not enough. Boycott.
Your white side is showing, Derek.
I love that, like, cause I was scrolling through my Twitter feed and I saw shit like that and it was like, have you not been following this movie since its inception? Like, from day one, they were like, hey, we're gonna have an all black cast for the Black Panther film. Also, we're gonna have a black director. Hey, by the way, there's not going to be that many white people, so if you're going to freak out about it, like, now's your time. This was fucking last year, and now the trailer dropped, and, like, these racist white people are like, oh my God, there's no white people. It's like, fucking, because it's not a white people movie.
Yeah, it takes place in Africa.
Yeah. in Wakanda.
And not South Africa.
Yeah, no, this is not Gods of Egypt. Like, calm the fuck down.
Gods of Egypt. Jesus. We're gonna have a Scottish guy play an Egyptian god.
Playing Black Panther.
What?
Oh. Ew.
Yeah. It is one of those things that, like, is, to me, it's very exciting to, again, it's one of those, it has that Wonder Woman effect where it's a female director who is directing a female driven film where you get to see the creativity of people who are just given the chance to make good movies.
And that's what Marvel is like, kind of like known for now.
Well, but like just the fact that DC kind of was like, hey, we're going to go ahead and give this a chance. And it ended up being the best thing they've released so far. Like, the fact that it's, you know, so the fact that Marvel is like, hey, here is a black character that is from Africa. So you know what we should do, guys? We should just let black people make the movie. It's not that weird. Well, it's not that big of a deal.
Hang,
like,
hang on, though. I feel like you're being a little harsh on the DC front. Okay. They're just saying that just Wonder Woman is good and nothing else. I mean, look at their upcoming lineup. They've got so many things coming up that are going to be exciting, like Wonder Woman 2.
like 1/6 of the Justice League is going to be pretty good, I feel.
Wonder Woman
3, 2? Yeah, yeah, for sure. Make it a fucking trilogy. Let's do this.
I'm sorry. I can't resist.
Yeah.
The trailer. So let's just like dive into the trailer.
Yeah, aside, let's do it.
Not all the negativity surrounding it because people are stupid.
Yeah, and Twitter's racist.
The trailer looks pretty fucking phenomenal.
Yeah,
I want to move to Wakanda. Wakanda looks like fucking badass
like
place
to be. Like a superhero movie that Michael B. Jordan can be proud to be in.
Hey, Chronicle was pretty good.
I mean, it was, but
that's
movie,
not
though.
Like a superhero movie. Like this is. He stumbled hard with the Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is definitely a chance to shine. Like I've got some beefs with just kind of the way that, like, some of the characters are designed, but at the same time, like, I don't know the context of how that is. But when, to me, and I love to do this, but to shit on the Justice League, when you compare special effects from what is in this fucking Justice League trailer to what is in the Black Panther trailer, which is very, it's heavily special effects. Like, there's so much CGI in this trailer. They're 15 years apart. Like, it looks so good in Black Panther where you're like, yeah, that's special effects, but I'm down. That's a real world. I want to be there. And then you watch Justice League and you're like, yeah, I could have made this Windows 95.
If you did a side by side comparison, you would be like, ooh, what's this indie fic like over here?
I don't know about you, but when I watch that Justice League trailer, I'm like, yeah!
Yeah!
My man!
Dig it!
Give me a Coors Light! Yeah!
Damn it. You know what? This isn't about that. This is about the Black Panther trailer. Sorry. I will literally just rant and rave about how much I fucking hate the Justice League trailer.
I love that they brought Andy Serkis back. And to see him kind of have a little bit of exposition in this trailer. It's like, what's he going to be doing?
Yeah.
Who's he going to be working with?
Well, and we knew they would.
Yeah.
He was definitely, you knew that in, you know, The Avengers 2 and even in Civil War with Martin
Freeman's
character, like, yeah, it was clear that he was going to be used for something else. Like, he was very underutilized in the Civil War, but you're like, okay, well, they're not going to cast him if he's not going to have a more important role. So clearly, and you see that where it's like, okay, both of these characters are going to be instrumental in moving this plot forward.
That's the thing. A lot of the minor characters are really what make the Marvel Cinematic Universe what it is. Those are the things that tie everything together.
Yes.
It's like, yes, you do get the big stars crossing over for the big films or, you know, Avengers 2.5 or 1.5 with Civil War, but it really is the small characters that cross over in the movies that really you're like, this is one thing, you know?
Yeah.
And so
you're John Favreau's.
Yes. Yes. But no, I honestly thought the trailer was great. I thought it was very well done. The special effects are awesome. I think it looks great. And you know, the Black Panther was one of those characters that really did steal the show in Civil War. You've got this, like you said, it's Avengers 2.5, and you introduce this character that is really relatively unknown to the mainstream media. Like, you've really got to be a comic book fan to know that Black Panther even exists. And you introduce him in a film that is surrounded by Iron Man and your Falcon and your Winter Soldier and Captain America. And this guy manages to steal the show in almost every fucking fight scene.
I kind of thought Don Cheadle stole the show. Drama queen. Am I right? Jeez. I'm not getting enough attention. I'm going to break my spine. God, that guy.
I mean, look, some people stoop real low. I get it. But no, I mean, it's one of those things where Marvel does this amazing job in introducing a character that people should otherwise dismiss. They really should. If he should just be like a character that's like, yeah, we don't really care, but like, they make him so central to what's happening. And not only that, but they make him so awesome in Civil War where you're like, yeah, I would like to watch the solo movie of that.
Well, and honestly, you should. I mean, he is the Batman of the Marvel universe.
No, he absolutely is. 100%.
Some might argue that Tony Stark is the Batman of the Marvel universe.
Black Panther absolutely is. Yeah.
I mean, even in the cinematic version, almost down to the parent death. I mean, you got at least one of them's gone.
Yep.
Am I right?
Yep. And then he's got to, you know, take on the mantle.
Well, Tony's parents died, too. What's
the African version of Martha? Are we going to get a Martha moment?
I'm not going to do it. I don't, it would sound really bad.
I don't know how to translate Martha into Wakandan. I don't know how to do that.
You can't just break out an Andy Serkis South African accent on a whim?
No.
Okay.
No. My South African is not.
I mean, to be fair, he's New Zealand? He's from New Zealand or Australia? Yeah. Like, their accent's already pretty similar.
Yeah,
not that much of a stretch for him to slide into it.
Yeah. I think Marvel did a great job in laying the groundwork for a character that they knew was going to be a struggle to sell to people. And then they just did an amazing job in making us want to see more. And then they release this trailer where you're like, yeah, I want to know everything about Wakanda. Like, this is amazing.
Well, and one of the things that really Marvel does well is that they cast actors who, yes, they're going to be able to do the physical stuff, but these are people, they're going to play the shit out of those roles. And he already did that in Civil War, to where you're like, yes, I want to see more of this character. Yep. And then we see this trailer and like the cast is just stupidly talented, what I mean, and you're like, yeah, let's absolutely,
and it's a fucking all-star cast. Like,
I'm looking forward to seeing Lupita Nyong'o and Danai Gurira.
Uh-huh.
She plays Michonne, because they play his bodyguards.
I'm so down. So down. And even, look, I'm actually a fan of Michael B. Jordan. Like, as much as, you know, I will agree that he has made some missteps, when it comes to the Fantastic Four.
But you can't hold that against him
because that's not his fault.
He's done in so many other projects where you can see he is talented and it was bad.
For sure.
Bad direction and bad editing that just made that movie.
Because
shit.
if you've ever watched Fruitvale Station, which is heart-wrenching, like, he's amazing in that movie. He's so good. But then if you watch Creed, which honestly, like, I didn't think I was going to enjoy, and Michael B. Jordan is so good in that movie that you kind of forget that it's just a run-of-the-mill Rocky story. Like, he does a great job in that movie. And so you can see that as long as he's got good direction and he makes the right choices, he's very talented. And I think him being able to explore being a villain, I'm so down to see him try to push those boundaries. I'm absolutely on board.
Yeah. Danny,
I agree.
Thank you, Ben Affleck. Also, you're a piece of shit.
I've liked Michael B. Jordan ever since I saw Chronicle.
Yeah. No, and he's great in that movie. He really is.
It really broke my heart when he signed on to do Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
But he did that movie with Zac Efron and I think Miles Teller called Awkward.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And that was hilarious. He was great in that as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I look forward to, like, he got kind of gypped because, like, the name for the character he's playing is Killmonger. but
I wonder why.
That,
wait, it's so weird.
That's not foreboding.
Is that on the nose?
It's weird because he's a pacifist, really. He's a conscientious objector, right? Yeah, is that what it is?
Conscientious objector. Yeah. So, I mean, other than that, like, just watching him, like in the trailer, like, with the, like, do all the action scenes that he does in that, like, the costumes, and that's one thing I love, that they're kind of doing, like, a Tony Stark-esque, Extremis kind of costume that comes out of nowhere.
Yeah.
That's pretty rad.
Yeah, and it looks amazing. Yeah. Like, it looks so cool, and I'm very excited to see how that plays out in context. Like, it looks awesome. And again, I think you're right with the costumes. I think they nailed it with everybody. I think it's great.
The only mistake I think they're making, and this was, I think we could have seen this in Civil War II. In fact, I'm surprised we didn't pick up on it sooner. The big thing that's missing is Black Panther's voice should probably be more like a, I'm Black Panther. You know what I mean?
Wakanda just showed you that they believe in good.
Where was the vibranium going? Where?
Where's Killmonger? Where is he?
Where's Claw?
See? I'm saying.
I mean, we already ruined it. It's
Big
perfect.
Black Panther,
it's
Batman.
Perfect.
I think that trailer would have been that much better.
It's not who I am underneath the mask, but what I do. That's,
we know you're,
and then just sprinkle, like, I don't know, 5 or 6 flashbacks from Civil War where his dad gets killed. Just throughout.
That's how the movie starts, actually, is his dad dies.
Did you just say T'Chaka? Why would you say that name? Why?
Oh shit. Wow, I think we have single-handedly ruined Black Panther.
That's what we do on this show. We take things that we love and we ruin them for other people. That's part of our charm.
I like your Avengers jet. Does it come in black?
I'm rich. It's my superpower.
What's your superpower? Yeah, I'm rich. I'm the king of a nation. Thank you.
God damn it. It's awful.
Sorry. Anyway, yeah, sorry. Let's right. Let's take our final commercial break for the evening, and then when we come back, we're gonna talk about this whole Hocus Pocus debacle. I have some strong thoughts and feelings on this. Are they good? Well, you'll have to stick around and find out. If you want to chime in on, either the Black Panther trailer or the upcoming television remake of Hocus, I can't even say it without laughing. The upcoming television remake of Hocus Pocus. Give us a call here, 909-360-8330, or message us on Facebook, facebook.com/jackofallnerds. We will be right back.
BS just won't do. ChaoticRadio.com.
Hey, bub. You're listening to the Jack of All Nerds on Chaotic Radio. Don't go anywhere, or else.
Welcome back to the Jack of All Nerds on Chaotic Radio. Right now, guys, we're going to talk about this Hocus Pocus reboot that is coming to Disney, the Disney Channel, I think,
yeah,
or something.
Disney
one of
those. Channel.
So, and already, because we prefaced this before the break, I had a listener comment, it's funny, but I'm probably one of the few people who loves Halloween but doesn't care for the original Hocus Pocus, so I probably won't watch the remake. First off, I'll see you outside.
Yeah.
I'll fight you in the streets.
Right.
But I mean, look, I have to admit, it came out in 93, I was 12, so yeah. There's probably a reason I was that doofus in the fucking movie.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Like, I was that teen virgin.
Yeah.
That was,
that should be sacrificed.
So I was living the experience.
Yeah.
But yeah, so this remake, it's straight for TV. Nobody from the original is involved in any way. This information came out back in like September. But now, like, all this Hocus Pocus stuff has made a huge resurgence. Like, there was a big Hocus Pocus section at, like, Spirit Halloween store. And it's like, I haven't seen a Hocus Pocus costume in any Halloween store in ever. And so, do you think, like, what are you guys' thoughts on this?
I just recently watched Hocus Pocus, actually, because we've been kind of on a Halloween kick, pretty much this whole weekend.
Yeah.
And so I've kind of gone back and, like, watched a lot of the old ones. And, you know, I really enjoy Hocus Pocus. I think it's a fun movie. And for all its flaws, like, you can absolutely pick this movie apart. But as far as, like, Halloween children's movies go, it's a very fun movie. And I think it holds a very special place in people's hearts. So the idea that you're going to make a TV show that doesn't have anyone from the original involved, it just feels like you're trying to capitalize on something that, like, you almost don't even need to capitalize on, because you can basically just make Hocus Pocus a thing again. It's not that hard.
It's almost like making a Karate Kid remake, but featuring Kung Fu.
So weird.
Instead of karate.
Did they do that? They did. Awkward.
Yeah, but the good part about that is you got to see Jackie Chan.
Yeah, this
doesn't have Jackie Chan.
It's actually a pretty decent movie, but it's just like, you didn't have to fucking call it the Karate Kid.
Kung Fu Kid just doesn't sound good.
I don't give a fuck. Just call it the Kung Fu Kid like the rest of the world did.
Or then just have Jackie pretend he's Japanese like they want to do, and he teaches karate instead. Like, look, Hollywood is not above racism. I think that has been very apparent recently.
It's been very clear that they're not. I think there's enough fandom for the original that you don't need a remake that doesn't have anything to do with the original to have a resurgence of it. Like, I feel like there's enough people that are willing to do screenings of the original and dress ups of the original and sing alongs of the original. Like, it just feels so unnecessary for something that is, like, it's so classic. Everybody, like, remembers Hocus Pocus. Whether you love it or hate it, it doesn't matter. Like, it really does have a huge effect on culture, especially when it comes to Halloween. So why are you gonna release a TV series that doesn't have anybody.
Not a series, just a movie.
And that's even worse. Like,
Which already means, like, and look, you can argue that TV effects are maybe the equal of movie effects were in the 1990s, but it's still going to have a lower budget.
Yeah.
It's going to be, and look, I'm using this term loosely because there was a lot of camp in the original.
Sure.
But it's going to be Disney Channel, like Disney XD campy as fuck. You know what I mean? Like, it's not going to be campy in the right ways.
Right. Right. Because the original is campy, but it's not campy in the way that, like, it makes you go, this is dumb.
It's Jesse, but fucking Hocus Pocus. You know what I mean? Like that.
Yeah. And that, again, that just feels at worst, just fucking make a remake. Like, you know what I mean? Like, just do what every other Hollywood studio is doing and just make a remake of Hocus Pocus and have the sisters make a cameo. You know what I mean? Like, just sell it to me like everybody else sells me shit I've already seen. Like, why are you trying to, like, recreate something that nobody wants to watch?
I just had a listener say Hocus Pocus is the pumpkin spice of Halloween movies to white chicks.
It's true. I remember that movie just because, like, that was the one movie where Sarah Jessica Parker was actually kind of hot.
She was kind of hot, and I wish I didn't believe that.
Yeah.
So Bette Midler didn't do it for you?
Bette Midler could never do it for me.
Wow. Wow.
That's fucked up, man.
Rough. Apparently, I haven't seen Beaches.
I need you to stay out of my head because I had that same thought.
Because that was the first thing I saw Bette Midler in. It's just like, no.
Yeah, no, I, you know what? I, as much as I love Hocus Pocus, I, they're not wrong. It is really the most basic Halloween movie you could be into. It's like that followed only by a Nightmare Before Christmas.
Well,
like,
and I think what that, like, and I don't know if this is what they meant by that, but it, to me, it is one of those kind of a trendy.
Yeah, no, it is. Like, no, 100%.
It feels like the Hot Topic flavor of the week
type
of movie, to where now suddenly it's coming back, where most of these people probably didn't see it when it first came out, kind of a thing.
Yeah, or, I guess, but
you know, I mean, I don't know.
To me, I never felt like Hocus Pocus is one of those films that, like, I watch every year. Like, I watch it every year.
I enjoy it, but I don't even watch it. I honestly, until I bought it for my girlfriend, because she loves it. I hadn't seen it in many, many years.
But my girlfriend loves it too, and so in the last, I don't know, 5 years, I have honestly watched it at least once every Halloween season, and honestly, like, it's a fun movie. Yes, it's basic as shit, it's totally Disney, and
Is it basic like, I don't know, like a Madea Halloween?
No, it's not an abortion.
Do you want to know something terrible? I was at the theater the other night, and they just let out the Madea movie. So many fucking people came out of that theater.
I know. I judge everyone that gives that man money. It's not okay. It's not okay.
It's not your fault.
It's not your fault.
God damn it.
Anyways.
So I think we all agree that this is a bad idea.
Yes. Was it my niece? She was staying at my mom's house for a little bit, and I'd go over there and hang out. And for 3 days straight, she was watching The Descendants 2, and that was a made-for-TV Disney movie, and it's about the children of Disney villains, mm-hmm. and how they get along in the made-up fantasy world that they live in. And holy shit, I could not sit through 2 minutes of that movie without wanting to put a corkscrew through my eye.
That's a very Halloween way to go.
Yeah, no, it's good. It is. It's strong.
In fact, I've seen that death in a Friday the 13th film.
Oh. It sounds familiar. I want to say
Crispin Glover in the kitchen. Corkscrew. Yeah.
Yeah. Strong. Yeah. Solid.
Look that up. You'll enjoy it.
Okay.
Not just because he's a freak, but.
Dude is a freak. Yeah. But no, and if that's like the caliber of stuff I can expect for this movie, I have no hope.
Yeah.
It is.
It's exactly what you can expect.
And the fact that it's made for TV
is like,
just...
it's Girl Meets World.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's not okay.
So at least Girl Meets World had some of the fucking original cast in it.
I think we can move on.
Yes.
And,
So today I was at Universal.
Yes.
As part of the, my girlfriend has started this, get together group.
It's
Hogsmeade.
Not what I was going to talk about at all.
Hogsmeade Weekenders is the name of it. So
yes.
if you're into Harry Potter, she's going to start doing meetups at Universal. So if you're a season pass holder and you like Harry Potter things, you can check that out on Instagram and Facebook. But that's what we went there for. However, I was like, I must go on the tram ride because it features the Fast and the Furious. And, Derek, why don't you kick things off? Cause you've been on it.
Oh, yeah. You know, when you're on the tram ride, your family. Look, I staunchly defend everything that happens in the Fast and the Furious films. But when it comes to the ride, I can't. I'm sorry. I can't. I have nothing. I have nothing. It is so ridiculous. Like,
I was laughing throughout most of it. Like, I could not, I don't know if it's meant to be taken seriously, but it was a great work of comedy. So you have like 3D glasses that don't work, and they drive it, and it's at the end of the tram.
Yes.
So strap in. Cause, it's a long ride.
Yeah.
And then you get in there and there's this whole, like, feels like, you know, they're driving around you and it feels like you're driving with them. And it has some of the most ridiculous shit. Like, they were fucking driving cars on ice being chased by a submarine in the last movie. This stuff.
Not even close. Not even close. That shit's believable. The fact that cars can block fire from a human being. Yeah, that I buy that over what happens in this fucking tram ride.
Yeah. So Shaw from what? Fast 6?
Yeah, which is I think when they made the ride. I think.
Yeah, so he's the primary antagonist of the piece.
So Luke Evans.
Yeah. Okay. And he shows up on a truck and he's on the back of the truck with a gun and he's going to shoot you. And then they drive up and they pile drive the truck he's in and he just disappears off the back of the truck. Like to where you're like, yeah, he's dead.
Yeah.
He didn't get thrown clear. He died.
Yeah.
Like that's how hard he gets hit. And then a short bit later, he shows up on the back of another truck unscathed. The truck is unscathed. He's fine. And then Letty picks it up with a crane that's driving. And throws the truck into a brick wall.
That's not even my biggest beef.
No, it's definitely when
you know those cranes. Those cranes pick up some speed.
That's not even my biggest beef. My biggest beef is when Vin Diesel single-handedly takes down a helicopter with his bare hands.
Hold on, though. Let's fill them in. It's a miniature helicopter.
I don't give a control. Fuck.
And he like jumps onto it from a moving car.
No.
And says, and I quote, I got this. And unfortunately, like most times when people say that, they don't got this, but he got it.
No, I don't care how big or small the helicopter is. He rips a helicopter from the sky, throws it, blows it up, and somehow survives
Dude, did you not know this? He's Superman.
No, it is, of all the most ridiculous things that have ever happened in the Fast franchise. And look, as much as I love to defend things, it's really hard. Like this, I've watched it probably 3 times since I've had my Universal Pass. And every single time I get to that point, I'm just like, nope, get the fuck out of here. Like I can't buy it. I will buy everything else you try to sell me, but the ride takes it way too far.
So this
takes it way too far.
This is part of the tram or?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's at so they have 2 sections of the tram where they have you put on 3D glasses and you're inside like a, almost like what they used to do with the People Mover at Disneyland where they have the screens on either side.
Uh-huh.
Obviously this feels much more like in depth and there's motion that makes you feel like you're part of it. So the first one is, Kong Skull Island. And I think it's actually just reused footage from the Peter Jackson.
Yeah. Cause I've done the actual Skull Island ride in Florida, and it's
very, very different.
Very different
creatures, because the T-Rexes were from that one.
Yeah, you know? And this one is like the weird lizard creatures. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, so there's that, and then at the end of the tram is the Fast and the Furious thing. There's a part where you're going through, like, one of the back lots, and then you see Dom's car, which, note to Universal, maybe just have somebody go dust the fucking car off every once in a while. Cause it looked like it hadn't been touched in quite, like there's a bunch of shit just falling onto the car from trees. And then they're like, Oh, that's Dominic Toretto's car. And then you get like a message from the FBI. And then,
it's all very,
The Rock comes on and just talks about how fucking great he is. And I was like, am I lying?
No, that's exactly what happens.
And meanwhile, you're watching it going, yeah, no, he is, yeah. And then eventually that comes back and you pull into one of these motion things and this little video sequence happens. And I remember there's a part where, the cast members they have is Tyrese,
Letty,
Dom, and then Hobbs.
Yeah.
That's it. And then Luke Evans for the bad guy. When they were all three on the screen at one point, I was just laughing because I was like, those two hate that guy. But the payoff is at the end of it is that you can be a part of their crew anytime.
Yeah, well, you're part
of the family.
No, you're family. That's fuck that ride. It's so dumb.
It didn't touch you on a personal level?
No, it didn't. It didn't at all.
Didn't make you feel like your movie going experience from moving forward.
You're now part of the team. I'm a diehard fan and I wasn't on board.
So what were some of Paul Walker's lines in that?
He was surprisingly mute.
Yeah. I fucking hate all of you. God.
I had a much worse joke in mind.
I'm sure you did.
Out of respect, and that's very little, I held it. I held it. I'll tell you off air, and then we can all revel in how horrible we are as human beings.
Okay, so look, we're almost out of time. I wanna mention two things. One, I wanna mention the Punisher trailer.
Nope.
Oh, awkward.
You go fuck yourself, Derek.
Okay. All right. So I'm the only one that's excited for that. All right. Fuck me.
I'm excited.
So I do want to mention the Punisher trailer. They basically released two kind of back to back. One was a little bit more cryptic, and then the second one that came out seemed to be a little bit more, about the story itself.
And then a release date too.
And then an actual release date. Yeah. So
they've been holding on to that information.
Yes, they have. Cause even the first trailer that they released was
they're like
super cryptic.
Later this year.
Yeah. Get ready.
Yeah. I was like, what the fuck? Yeah.
So enjoy this, but not yet.
Yeah. So luckily that is going to come out, in November, and I can't wait. I'm so excited. It looks amazing.
You're looking forward to getting punished.
I am. Punish me so hard. Wow. You did it. You did it.
Look, I just said something. You took it to a dirty place.
You knew where it was going.
With the timbre of your voice.
But yeah, so I just wanted to bring that up because I do think that that's going to be really exciting and fun.
Hopefully there's going to be a lot of Iron Fist cameos.
Yeah, well,
If it's him getting shot by the Punisher, I'm okay with that.
I mean, look, Iron Fist is clearly the most important character of...
He can... Look, guys, here's the thing. He can stop bullets. With his glowing fist.
That he never fucking uses!
Have we seen that? Is that a thing?
Well, you wouldn't know, cause they don't, he doesn't fucking know.
Exactly.
But I'm just saying, it's possible.
How do you know?
God damn it. Oh, I hope he doesn't show. Oh.
He won't.
God.
I have a feeling they're just gonna abort Iron Fist.
Yeah, I don't really anticipate probably any cameos, any of the heroes at any rate.
If anybody shows up, Daredevil I'm okay with. But outside of that, fuck off.
I don't expect it to, though, especially with the way the Defenders ended. You're probably not going to be seeing any Daredevil.
Well, but this takes place before all of that.
Does it?
Yes, it does. It takes place before all of that, because this is the Punisher's origin story. So if anybody's going to show up, it's going to be
Daredevil. You're saying this takes place before the events of Daredevil Season 2?
Yes.
Okay, well, that's really fucking dumb. Anyway.
At least that's what, right?
Because they already show us some of that. I think this is him actually being the Punisher, which is how we ended season 2 of Daredevil, with him taking on the moniker.
We didn't even get a release date until like a week ago, so what the fuck do I know?
Well, I mean, you've seen the trailer.
I was trying to place it in my own time, all right, Mike? Fuck.
Anyways. But I like some of the minor characters we might see because they do like to feature the minor characters.
Karen shows up in that. She apparently has a relationship with everybody.
Totes.
I don't know why. Why does she always look like she's under duress? Like no matter what, even when she's safe.
She's got a deadline, man.
No, she just.
Cause that's just Deborah Ann Wall, man.
Every time I see her, I'm just like you cannot be that out of breath all the time. Like, she just looks, every single time you see her, she looks terrified.
I mean, that's pretty insensitive of you to say, because she may actually have asthma, and you're just being a dick.
That's probably true. I don't know anything about redheads. What the fuck do I know?
Well, you know they don't have a soul. That could be the problem.
Maybe that's what it is.
That makes you out of breath.
I mean, she doesn't have a soul, so she's
worried.
Makes
you always scared, no matter what.
The soul actually works the lungs.
Yeah.
Even when she's like out on a date,
book, dude.
No. Anyways, honestly, I don't care for her. I'm sorry. I don't care for her character at all.
So what's the other thing?
So the second thing is I watched, The Babysitter on Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
And I am going to highly recommend that if you want to get your Halloween fix and you want a good, funny, coming-of-age slasher comedy horror flick, I'm going to highly recommend that you watch it. I enjoyed it way more than I should have. It was super funny. Everybody does a great job. The gore is fantastic. The slasher cliches are all there. But it is kind of like this semi-coming-of-age story about a 12-year-old learning how to, like, become an adult. Like, it's... Honestly, it's a really good flick, and I would encourage everybody who is on board with the Halloween phenomenon, watch The Babysitter. Don't discount it. Okay. It's really good.
I'm glad that you did complete that statement in its entirety, though, because when you first started, like, I watched The Babysitter on net, like, you sounded...
Through the window.
Yeah. like Mr. Peepers.
Oh, no, no.
And
not,
then I asked
no,
her what her favorite scary movie was.
Wow. It's like, Derek, you don't even have children.
Wow, this is awkward. No, I did not reenact Scream.
I hire a babysitter for my cat, no, and then I spy on her.
Okay, let's backtrack a little bit. There is a movie on Netflix called The Babysitter.
Oh.
And
Did you watch it?
I recommend that you watch that movie.
Oh,
that, okay.
Okay,
all right. That's better, right? That's a better... Better intro to then.
I mean, I came to the same conclusion by the end of your first spiel. But I was just saying the way you started, I was
all
like, this,
right,
this could be going
I'm
to
sorry,
a dark place.
I was
place.
Not specific enough at all. But yeah, no, if you're a Halloween fan and you're one of those people that like, during the month of October, you've got to watch every Halloween movie, I highly recommend that you give this one a chance. Cause it is honestly a really fun movie to watch.
All right. Well, on that note, we are out of time, guys, but you are not, I repeat, not going to want to miss next week because aside.
Don't support this.
From, look, so we're doing.
It's going to be a big night. Yeah.
We're doing another tournament. We're doing a tournament.
Okay.
But featuring horror movie monsters slash killers.
Awesome.
That's going to be super fun. And then it's the climax, if you will.
Are we going to save that for the end of the night?
No.
Okay. No, we're doing it up top.
We'll get that out of I want the vomiting out of the way.
Yeah,
so
I want everybody to know right now, I will not be sober for this. I'm gonna show up.
I don't think
up,
I wanna be either.
No, I'm gonna show up to the studio so drunk I can't feel my tongue because I do not want to know what this fucking tastes like.
Pumpkin spice hot dogs, everybody. Oh yeah.
I'm choking already just thinking about it.
The ultimate finale for this year's Pumpkin Spice Challenge. Honestly, I don't even know where I can go from here. We may have to stop.
That is like, if you ever wanted to end this torture, that is the fucking way to go out, man.
I don't know. I feel like next year Facebook's gonna have other ideas.
Try the pumpkin spice hamburger.
Yeah.
The pumpkin spice pizza.
Yeah, no, I fucking, who knows?
Yeah.
Basic bitches are everywhere. Who knows?
Yep.
Pumpkin spice goulash. Yeah,
the pumpkin spice will never die.
No, it will not. It will not. They will always find new ways to ruin our lives.
He who controls the pumpkin spice controls the universe.
The immortal.
We do know this.
It's true.
We do know this. So, yeah, so that's happening. Big
not,
show next week,
down.
Guys.
Not looking forward to it. It's, but hey, you know, tune in to hear our suffering.
And I'd say we dress up because it's technically our Halloween show, but I don't actually know that Twitch will be working, and then we'd just be dressing up for each other's benefits, which is weird.
We're gonna have a guest.
You fucking let me know. I'll do it. I don't care.
We got a couple guests in the studio next week.
Whatever. It's in my car. I don't care.
It's gonna be, yeah, it should be fun. And I already know my blast from the past for next week, and, it's a little ditty called Frankenhooker.
Ooh.
Yes.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
I know mine too.
So.
You already know what the fuck?
I'm going to be doing Event Horizon.
It's called Preparation.
Oh, that's a good fucking great movie.
It's a good pick.
I think it came out in 99.
I think it's earlier than that.
Yeah, I think it is a little earlier than that.
Yeah, I think it's like 96, 97, actually.
I think we already did Event Horizon.
I think we did, too.
I know we've talked about it.
About it, yeah.
So
I feel like we might have already done it.
I'll pick something else.
We're running out of movies, guys. How is that even possible? There's so many movies out there. Anyway,
we're running out of 90s movies. Is the problem? We gotta go.
Just go back further.
We gotta go back into time.
Yeah, there you go.
Look, I've done. You know,
there's so many awful horror movies out there.
It's true.
Just pick one.
It's true. Netflix wants me to watch The Haunted Hell House.
That's how I
from
came
like 1970.
Yeah, that's how I came across fucking Frankenhooker.
I can't even believe it's real.
No,
actually, you know what? I take that back. I absolutely can believe that that's a real movie.
Yeah. I'm very excited for it. So. All right.
Well, I will browse Netflix and find something wonderful to watch for that since you both have a head start.
Yes. So. All right, guys. And as always, you can find this in podcast form on our website, jackofallnerdshow.com.
Shall. Yeah.
My man.
I dig it.
Wow.
He's buying.
It's on him.
Anyway, also, if you can find us.
I didn't think I could hate Aquaman even more.
Hey, wait till the movie comes out.
Fuck.
We, You can also find us on Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play. Just search Jack of All Nerd Show. And again, also on the Hyper RPG Podcast Network on SoundCloud. That is soundcloud.com/HyperRPG. All that kind of stuff. Also, this week, another Dark Crusader comic strip. It's featuring our Pumpkin Vice story arc.
Yeah. It's one of my favorites, guys. So, I definitely check it out.
You'd think the Dark Crusader would be prepped for him. Like, every year, he always comes back around the same time.
He would be, except that it's a she this year.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Get ready, motherfucker.
Big twist.
Yeah.
That means you got to introduce her her villainous sidekick, Basic Bitch.
Yeah. Get ready for Pumpkin Vice, guys. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah. All right, guys. This has been the Jack of All Nerds. We will talk at you later.
Stop the things you do.